Blog Talk Radio.
Don't know how long it will continue. However, we are up and we are live and we are ready to rock and roll. It is Valentine's Day this Saturday. I was going to do this a little earlier, but I got a call that said that it was in. So I went and got my wife her Valentine's Day present and everything. So I had to get that done out of the way before we can go on live here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So just some things that are going on really quick in college basketball. Right now, Louisville, the number 9 ranked team, is having their way. Well, not necessarily having their way. It's 31-30 over North Carolina State. Number 14, ISU, taking on West Virginia. And right now, West Virginia is down in that game 36-32. Some finals. And it's one of my teams that I'm hoping for. I think it's Oklahoma State, OSU. Could be a couple other things, so let's find out. I'm going to hit the recap button because it's about Ohio State. Yep, Ohio State got beat by Michigan State 59-56. I thought it was OK State, so that's what the difference is when you look at that. So OK State, that was actually Ohio State that lost to Michigan State 59-56. VCU gets the victory. They're the number 20 team, 79-66. UNC got beat by Pitt, and UNC was, there are a lot of things going on in UNC. And unfortunately, the situation here, as far as the legacy that passed away for UNC, I don't know if that has anything to do with the loss. However, they did take the loss 89-76. Baylor got beat by Kansas State, KU, Kansas, 74-64. And Kentucky over South Carolina, 77-43. Those are finals in the game in college basketball. Now, we don't do a lot of talking about the regular teams in college basketball. It just happens to be on, and it just happens to be something that I've seen while we're over there, scouring the news. And there's lots of news going on. And I think it's really interesting when you take a look at what's going on. And I want to start with the Dallas Cowboys, because the Dallas Cowboys, I've talked about the team. I've talked about them, how much I hate them, but really what has happened is I've seen the team kind of turn themselves around, and they have putting themselves in a position to get some players. There is no doubt that Dez Bryant has got to be the guy, I think. And I like DeMarco Murray, and I like the fact that you don't have to worry about DeMarco Murray. I like a lot of things about DeMarco Murray. Simple fact of the matter is, and unfortunately for the Dallas Cowboys, he is expendable. And he's expendable for only one reason, because really you cannot, and the Dallas Cowboys, they've been known to make mistakes. And I've been told that I'm nuts in thinking that them taking on a full contract for Dez Bryant for a long period of time, I think it's just one of the biggest mistakes that this football team could do. He's one off-the-field incident. Now, I'm tired of also hearing people wanting to defend him. You know, it's been 3 years. You know what? You know, people who get in trouble, 3 years is still not enough to get them off the hook. This is sports and everything else. I completely understand it. But I don't trust Dez Bryant. And if you do, you want to go ahead and have that bridge of optimism for Dez Bryant to be a guy that can come in, week out, not be the troublemaker or be the pain in the butt that he's known to be. Hey, wonderful. You can go ahead and do it. I'm not trusting him. And that's, you know, people go, well, why are you knocking Dez? I'm not knocking Dez. You sign him to the 1 year. You make him the franchise player, which makes the DeMarco Murray situation really kind of hard. But you know what the Dallas Cowboys need to do is give DeMarco Murray a guaranteed amount of money, and that's $15 million. That's $7.5 million for a year, and maybe he could get it elsewhere. Maybe he can't, but I will tell you his success will be right there, and you give him a small contract, a short-term contract. And you work on it and get it done. And maybe the numbers don't match. And that's where the situation with DeMarco Murray is that he could pick up and leave, and yet there's more guys out there. But here's one of the things. I'm going to tell you right now. Adrian Peterson, I'm sorry, it's not better than DeMarco Murray. And I don't even want to hear the comparison. But And I don't even want to talk about Adrian Peterson not being good. He is good. I don't even want people to think that Sonny Clark thinks that Adrian Peterson's not a good basketball or but good football player. It's just not true. I think DeMarco Murray's better. And he also has the age on Adrian Peterson. But that is an option if the Dallas Cowboys can't get the DeMarco Murray situation figured out before they have to. And that's going to be the huge thing for that team moving forward. But they have to keep Dez. And they have to franchise tag him. And they can very ill afford to pay this guy big, big money on guaranteed money with his stupidity that he's shown within and still can do. And I don't want to put it out there, you know, say what you want. You know, he's been good. He's been a good little boy. Yes, he has. Let's pat him on the head, and, you know, now he's the second coming. Now, there is no question this guy's got talent. I don't even want to put that out there. But I don't want to sign him to guaranteed money, big guaranteed money. I don't trust him. And Jerry Jones has this one right. And, you know, Jerry Jones has got to protect his brand. And Jerry Jones needs to be able to cut bait and be done with him if that's what he wants to do. I would never give Dez Bryant. Never give Dez Bryant a guaranteed big-time contract. I'd franchise tag his ass until he was done playing. Then you can decide whether or not he's worth the money from year to year without it being a problem. And not, he moves on. And you're not out a guaranteed $40 million that they're talking about. It's ridiculous. Dez Bryant. The monies that they're talking about to get him, you know, $40 million, it's just not going to happen. Why do you say that, Sonny? Because they can pay him $15 million and be done. They could be done, and then the next year, $30 million. That's where it will be. And then the 45, and that's the three-year guarantee that he would want. But you take it 1 year at a time. And you can say whatever you want. One of my problems with Dez Bryant is not the fact that the guy doesn't have talent. I think the situation here is, moving forward, is that will Dez Bryant ever be a guy that you can trust to give $42 million and not be ready? And you take that risk every single time with Dez Bryant. I'm sorry, he does. DeMarco Murray has not, and DeMarco Murray's on the outside looking in. It's too bad for him. But let's be honest. I'm not saying DeMarco Murray can fill his shoes. I'm just saying there's Adrian Peterson out there, and if you're not going to get and wrap up DeMarco Murray, the Cowboys have an out. There's always going to be someone there. And whether or not the backups can be, you know, take care of business in the backup role, that's too bad. And the bad thing is that DeMarco Murray is a pretty good guy. The problem with DeMarco Murray, in reality, is that he was injured. And the DeMarco Murray, you know, guaranteed fund, I don't know if he's going to get. I don't know how much he wants. But the Dallas Cowboys, in all likelihood right now, are going to have to be the ones that franchise Dez Bryant, and then that whole thing will be there. So when they do that, they got to do it before March 2nd, They can designate players as the franchise or transition players as soon as Monday. They can start that on Monday. And as of right now, the Cowboys are last in the NFL to use the franchise tag. And now there's other situations with, you know, the last time they did it was in 2013 with Anthony Spencer. But, you know, Dez Bryant, yeah, a talent. Dez Bryant, a guy that can do it week in and week out, probably. But Dez Bryant being named to a Pro Bowl for the second straight season, still not good enough for me. So you got to make that decision as a franchise on the money that you're going to get. 1,320 yards, 16 touchdowns in 2014. And that's a single. That's the Dallas Cowboy record. But I'm not quick to forgive. Okay? I'm just not. And I don't even want to get into the fact that, well, what do you think about Adrian Peterson and the situation with him? I don't even want to get into it because I wouldn't have him on the scene. But the Dallas Cowboys have been known to grab up guys that have shady pasts. And I'll tell you, Dallas going after Adrian Peterson is no great big surprise. And should it be? No. If you've got your head buried that far in the sand that you can't see that that's a possibility, you're crazy. Greg Hardy is another situation. But here's the thing about Greg Hardy, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and I'm not even going to argue that point. The fact of the matter is he's not convicted anymore. For whatever reason, I'm not even getting into that, and we all know the broad was paid off, but that's irrelevant. This guy doesn't have the record. He was found not guilty, or they threw it out, or did not pursue it, and the reason being is because they didn't have enough evidence, regardless of why they have that evidence. And here's the thing. It's not against the law to pay the woman off. So Greg Hardy, you know, yeah. If a woman decides to settle the situation with money more so than throwing his ass in jail, that's fine with me. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Dallas Cowboys could use a Greg Hardy, a guy on the outside. They lost DeMarcus Ware. And I'm just going to say the guy doesn't have the situation. Now, granted, it's a very touchy situation within the NFL right now about how they're feeling about domestic violence and everything else, but I throw it back. He's not convicted. They overturned the conviction. It was in it, so it should be gone. And Greg Hardy, I mean, if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm looking at him, and I'm looking at him really hard. And the Dallas Cowboys have already one murderer on this team, and I'm talking about Josh Brennan. So you can't tell me that they don't take a stretch on those kind of guys. And Adrian Peterson and Hardy, if they are not being actively pursued, they will be. And if they're not, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they're just moving in a different direction than what they normally do. But I don't expect any change from the Dallas Cowboys on what they normally do. And I don't care what Jason Garrett has to say about it. If Jerry Jones wants Hardy, he's going to get him. If Jerry Jones wants Adrian Peterson, if they can't get DeMarco Murray, he's going to get him. And you can throw the fact out that, you know, Adrian Peterson be his kid. You could throw out the fact that the window that one Hardy, you know, was charged with domestic violence, but yet it was overturned. No conviction, he's done. And frankly, that's the one I would go after first. Not saying that this thing didn't happen with Greg Hardy, but you got to put it in the perspective of the fact that he has not actually been charged and was not, and they overturned it. Not enough evidence is not enough evidence, which equals not guilty, regardless of the reason why. Until they stop being able to pay people off, it's not against the law. It's not a conviction. And Greg Hardy, you know, he played the boat, kept himself quiet, missed the whole season, just like Adrian Peterson, raised no fuss, and this guy's going to be in demand by most, you know, football teams, and especially football teams that will take a chance on a guy like that, such as the Dallas Cowboys. They got a good opportunity to get a great pass rusher after they lose to Marcus Ware. So the Dallas Cowboys, a lot of things, but one thing that's going to be consistent, the Dallas Cowboys, I'm telling you right now, I don't have any inside information. I know Jerry Jones. He's going to take an O-lineman with his first pick, and I don't care who is available. They're going to take the O-lineman. Why? Because they got one guy that's having a little bit of problem on the left-hand side. I'm talking about Doug Free, and that, you can say whatever you want, but the main focus for the Dallas Cowboys has to be, in this draft, protect what has made you successful, and that is Tony Romo being able to do what he does week in, week out. And if you can't see that, you're not looking very hard. The Dallas Cowboys are a tough, tough win if you're going up against them next year, even if they don't get Greg Hardy. But imagine if they start stacking players. They get also Lee back. Maybe he'll be 100% where they can count on him. The Dallas Cowboys are putting themselves in a position to make a run at the NFC East Championship for the next 3 years. And I notice how I said 3 years, because I'm not expecting Tony Romo to be Tony Romo after 3 years. So the Dallas Cowboys, they have that small window, along with Dez Bryant being in the prime of his career. If they re-sign DeMarco Murray, if not, they'll probably go out and grab Adrian Peterson or use the guys that they got. They're not horrible. Now, granted, they're not going to be the workhorse that you got. As far as DeMarco Murray, that's just the way it is. And here's the thing. The Dallas Cowboys can play the bluff. If DeMarco Murray wants to get paid, he'll end up on the Raiders. However, we talked about it on the Couch Potato Sports Show with Cuervo. DeMarco Murray could end up there, right there in Denver in the Mile High, to help out Peyton Manning. What does Peyton Manning need? He needs a running game. So there's a, you know, the Dallas Cowboys can blink, but DeMarco Murray's not worried about a bluff. DeMarco Murray's going to get paid. And it don't matter whether it is going to be on a crappy Raider team or on a good Denver Bronco team. Someone is willing to give out the money. And the Dallas Cowboys just have to be careful and realize that the money that they would have to end up paying, he may not be worth it, but you put the offer out to see if he will bite. And the Dallas Cowboys can bluff it. Say, here's our final officer, our final offer. Take it or leave it. Now, that's not going to help them when they lose the guy. And the Dallas Cowboys, they're just going to have to figure out what they're going to do if they don't. But it can't be at the expense of Dez Bryant, even though, you know, the Cowboys are not going to pay him. Don't be under any illusion that just because he's a good guy now after 2 years, the Dallas Cowboys don't trust him at all. So there's a lot of work to be done. Then you go back and you take a look at the situation as far as the Denver Broncos are concerned and what their needs are. They got to make sure that they sign their guys, and I'm talking about the Thomases. And Peyton Manning says, I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's do this again. But will Peyton Manning next season be the Tony Romo of this season, where Peyton Manning does not have to throw the ball 68% of the time? And that's what you got to look as far as where he's at. Hey, if he has to do it, he has to do it. Can he do it? Of course. But do you really want that to be the definition of Peyton Manning? No, you want Peyton Manning to do what he does, which is be able to control the game and make big plays when he has to. But if they get a running game, I'm going to tell you right now, the Denver Broncos are going to be a tough W if you got to face them. If they have DeMarco Murray in the backfield with one Peyton Manning, I don't know. Let's see what someone else has to say about it and then bring him on. Just a good old boy himself. It is Brian Harvin from Wayne Sports Talk. How you doing, my friend? Nice to talk to you.
Doing good, Sonny. How's everything going?
Doing good. A lot of work, you know, on Saturday mornings. Unfortunately, can't get over there for Sports Talk with the guys, but it's Saturday. I got to do something. Saturday afternoon, it's time to talk sports. Peyton Manning, could you imagine DeMarco Murray in the backfield with a Peyton Manning? And wouldn't, I mean, don't you wish if you're a Bronco fan that Peyton Manning can be the Tony Romo of 2014 and 2015?
Yeah, I do believe so. And that's one thing Denver hasn't had with Peyton Manning is a premier running back. They have running backs, but nothing, and maybe I'm wrong in your opinion, but not a running back that like Murray that could
nope.
even up playing field and kind of give Peyton some rest, because you look at the cold weather, the age of Peyton Manning and everything, he's just not able anymore to take over a game. He's not the age of Andrew Luck, and everything's not as in order, but Peyton Manning still has two or three great years left in him if he gets some kind of running game, because you think about it, at that age, he had to be 100% of their offense, and finally he
yep.
wore out, and that's exactly what happened.
And it's going to happen again if they don't do anything about it. And the same thing, you see the success of the team. Maybe they don't win 12 games, but maybe they win 11, and they can make the playoffs and maybe make some noise in the playoffs, only with 11 wins instead of maybe 13. You got to take the good with the bad with the idea. And, you know, it's no place they can go as, you know, as far as wins and losses, I think, is just down. You know, they won, what, 13 or 12 games last year?
Yeah,
there's no
place
to go but down.
And the more I watch football, the more I realize the regular season means nothing. Just get into the playoffs. That's all you need
yep.
to do. Screw home field advantage, because it really doesn't matter. If you're an elite team, it doesn't matter. But if you don't get a good running game or someone to take the load off, if you're Denver, are you going to start shutting Peyton Manning down early and risk that possibility of losing the timing of the offense? Because he just can't. With the preseason games, how many do we have, Sonny? Four preseason
yeah,
games?
Four of
and
them,
then,
yep.
And then you have 16 regular season games. There's 20 games before the playoffs even start. I don't care who you are. That's a ton of games. And he plays – none of the preseason's not a lot, but still it adds up. He plays at least a couple of those games total.
Yeah, you put together, I was going to say maybe a game and a half, you know, in the preseason in 4 weeks. And, you know, depending on what his health is going into it, you know that, but we talked about that situation. And I was thinking about some guys that are, they're just a burden on the salary cap this year. And one of those is Larry Fitzgerald down in Arizona. Now, Arizona, they're going to have to pay some big bucks. Watch March 1st, because that's when a lot of things are going to happen. Or it's either March 1st or March 2nd, one of the two, either one. But whatever it is. But I was thinking about a team that could use a Larry Fitzgerald. Could you imagine if the Indianapolis Colts start to get in and start to bid for Larry Fitzgerald? Say what you want about Reggie Wayne. He may not be the attack, but if you got Reggie Wayne and you have Larry Fitzgerald and you have Andrew Luck, I mean, in the weak division that the AFC South is, it's almost a guarantee. Right now, it's even they win it by default. There's just some bad football teams down in there.
Yeah.
But you add another guy like a Larry Fitzgerald, that gives yet another weapon for Andrew Luck in order to win games.
But in playoff football, and when I watch the Colts, that defense is bad to me. And
yes.
It's not made for playoff football. So I'm hoping if you're the Indianapolis Colts that you go out and spend that money and beef up that offensive line a little bit more and get some defensive help, because these receivers, Sonny, are way overpaid sometimes and they're not dependable.
Yep.
And in playoff football, you think about it, the Patriots played some great defense and throughout the entire playoffs, and they won. It wasn't a big-time receiver that did anything. It was defense. And the Colts, yeah, they're going to win their division by default because the division sucks. But what are you going to do in the playoffs time? Well, when the playoffs come, you have to have a defense, and that's what they need to focus on, in my opinion.
I called that at the beginning of the year, Brian. Okay. When I was looking at the Indianapolis Colts, I said the weakness of this football team, even though Andrew Luck doesn't have, like, weapons, you want to call him, if that secondary does not get fixed, by the end. They may make the playoffs, but they're not going to go far. And you're absolutely right as far as what they're going to do. And it's secondary. I mean, they're getting to the quarterback, but they're giving up the yards. And you, if you're going to give up yards and you're in the playoffs, you're going to lose football games. It's simple as that. Because sooner or later, you may have a team that will make a mistake with a fumble or an interception. But if you're giving up yards, those yards will either lead to a six or a field goal. And how many times have we seen in the playoffs that teams win by a field goal? And that's what could happen to the Indianapolis Colts unless they can figure out how to shut down in the secondary. So they got a lot of secondary work to do over there.
And that's it. Even in the draft this year, just trade, you know, maybe you don't even need a first rounder, but trade for the number of draft picks and get more bodies. And get some guys that can play. And you know as well as I do, in that third, fourth, and fifth round, you can pick up some gems if you do your homework in there.
Yes.
But it's going to be the same thing over and over again if they don't start addressing that secondary and the defense. Because, I mean, Andrew Luck's going to get you to the playoffs. That's the bottom line. That's going to happen. With me at receiver, or you as receiver, Sonny, he's going to get to the playoffs. But the problem is, you saw New England, what they did to that defense. It was,
yes.
I don't care what if the balls were flat or not, Sonny. It wasn't going to change the outcome of that game.
No, it wasn't. Not even close. And then you got guys out there that have got bad reps, but you know what? There's a guy that had a conviction overturned. I'm talking about Greg Hardy. I mean, if you want to get a guy that can get to the quarterback, you pick up Greg Hardy. You've seen him over there in Carolina as you were watching Cam Newton. This guy is I'm telling you right now, it's balls to the wall when this guy gets out there. And the Dallas Cowboys have been, you know, they've taken chances on guys like that. Hell, they got a murderer on the team right now. You know, so why not a formerly convicted guy of domestic abuse and grab him up and get the talent? So the question is when does the talent that is out there overrule the bad boy that they are? And you know, Ray Rice, I mean, how much is that guy worth? Greg Hardy, I'm telling you right now, no conviction, sign him up and the Dallas Cowboys will pay him. And the Dallas Cowboys, they need some good rushing because they lost to Marcus Ware to the Denver Broncos last year. So that having been said, Greg Hardy, what do you think about his chance? I mean, he's not going to stay in Carolina. That's a foregone conclusion. Where do you think that Greg Hardy ends up at?
I don't know, but there's a lot of teams out there that could use his services because,
like you said,
balls to the wall. And that Carolina defense, Sonny, it got better as the year went on, but it was not the same without Hardy on that field. You saw how dominant they could be with a player like him, with Luke Kuechly on, you know, at linebacker,
yes,
just having those
absolutely.
Two on the field. But Dallas right now, if they're smart, they spend the money on someone like Greg Hardy and not piss it away on Dez Bryant or even Murray. I mean, how many more carries does he have left? They just killed him this year. So when you start your Dallas, you have Romo. He's going to be around for a while. When are you going to start deciding to spend money on the defense? Because I wouldn't keep Murray or Dez Bryant, Sonny.
Well, they're going to keep Dez. They're going to franchise tag his ass unless they can figure out a very good, you know, guaranteed money that's not going to be over $45 million for, you know, they're just not going to do it because why? They can franchise tag his ass for $15 million for 3 years. And guess what? That's $45 million. And that way, if he screws up in year number one, you can let him go. If he's the problem in year number two, you can let him go. And each year that he fulfills it, that would have been the guaranteed money. That guaranteed money, let's be honest, when some guy signs big money contract, the big money contract in reality is a 3-year contract because that's what will cover the guaranteed money. And that's what they would get if they paid him $45 million guaranteed money. That's 3 years. But, I'm sorry. You know, Dez Bryant, yeah, I guess he's been a good little boy lately. Yes, you'll pat him on the head. But he is one play, one incident, one guy stepping on his brand-new Nikes before he's back in the news, and he's going to be a problem for this Dallas Cowboys football team, and I don't pay him. And I run the risk with DeMarco Murray. I give it to him and say, hey, here, DeMarco, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you $16 million guaranteed, and we'll make it, you know, we'll make you a big contract, but I'm looking for only 2 more years on you. That's what you do with the Dallas Cowboys, and you franchise tag the headache that is Dez Bryant, because I don't trust him. He's been a good boy for 2 years, but you know what? you know, that it really is. Somebody stepping on his brand new Nikes after he walks out of Foot Locker before you have a problem with him at a mall, and then he's in a headache and getting arrested. I don't trust Dez Bryant, even though he's been a good boy. So I give DeMarco Murray $18 million guaranteed. Sign him up.
Why do you think he's been being a good boy, Sonny?
Well, no, he's been a good boy. He hasn't been arrested in 2 years. I got to give him that. He hit his mom, and after that, he's been a good boy ever since. That was 2 years ago. Okay, yeah, he is a mouth on the side. I mean, you see that. And to me, when I see it, I hate seeing that. But they know how to control that situation, evidently, in Dallas, to where, I mean, the last 2 years, Dez Bryant's been balls to the wall, and no one's been better. 16 touchdowns to the Dallas Cowboys, you know, he's breaking records, you know, yeah. So that's what I mean by a good boy. He's a jerk, without question. But
sad, Sonny. You have to say, well, he hadn't been arrested in 2 years. How many times have you been arrested, Sonny, in your life?
You look at that, and that's such a valid point, because that's where people put guys up on pedestals that are in there, you know, in athletics, to where, you know, yeah, how many times have I been arrested? You can count it on – close your fist, okay? All right? So, you know, but it's so much different. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, if LeBron James got arrested, even for a minor thing, I don't think it would affect him. So, you know, that's the pedestal thing, and that's what you – and that's where you – if this was you or me hitting your mother, would you have forgiveness after 2 years from anybody you know? No, you'd be a scumbag still.
No, I would be dead because my dad would have killed.
There you go. So you look at that whole situation. 2 years is pretty much what you get, and everybody thinks Dez Bryant's okay. But I'll tell you, I want to put it out there. Jerry Jones is so smart with Dez Bryant. I'd franchise tag his ass, and 3 years it's going to be $45 million. That's what you're going to give him anyway. Franchise tag him. There's nobody else that are worth it, not even DeMarco Murray, because DeMarco Murray is one cut from an ACL and gone. So you just got to kind of look at it that way. And as much as I like DeMarco Murray, and the guy's not an on off the field problem guy ever, he becomes expendable even though he's the good guy.
But if you're Dallas, haven't you gotten the best out of Dez Bryant that you're going to get, don't you think? I mean, do you think he's going to have better seasons than what he's had in the past?
If not the same, because he's a young cat, and that's number one. This is like his third, you know, his fourth season. I mean, he's a young cat. I mean, wide receivers don't usually go into their prime, okay, until they're in their early 30s. Okay, you know, late 20s, early 30s is when wide receivers go into their prime. And this guy's kicking it off at 24, 25 years old. You know, you got another four more years, he's 29 years old, and that's when a lot of guys are stepping into their prime. But the Dallas Cowboys have allowed that because of the way, you know, Tony Romo was before this past year, which is always running around and throwing the football as much as they can. That's the reason why I thought Peyton Manning up in Denver would definitely, you know, be a team that could benefit from a DeMarco Murray, so that, you know, Peyton Manning's not throwing the ball, you know, 40, 50 times a game.
Yeah, and you're right. I forgot one thing about Dez, how young he is. Franchise and do that. But, you know, there's not many great receivers in football, if you think about it. You have Calvin Johnson, and then you have this cat at Dallas. But think about it. How many great receivers, like game-changing receivers, can you count? I mean, I can't count too many. Maybe
exactly.
Three.
Well, I can count five just right off the top of my head if we get to include Dez. Don't forget, I think J.J. Green in Cincinnati, man, if he had a real quarterback throwing to him, could you imagine how great that guy would be? I mean, that's scary. I mean, it really is scary on how good he is with Andy Dalton. So, you got your Calvin Johnson, you got your Dez Bryant, you got your A.J. Green. These are guys that step up each and every year. And depending on what you think as great, I mean, you know, the definitions are very high, but you look at Demetrius Thomas up in Denver, he's a guy. I think Larry Fitzgerald can be a guy that can be that if he could get the ball. Arizona, they just can't get him the ball, regardless if it's Carson Palmer. It's definitely not if it's the backup. So, you know, here's the thing. Carson Palmer don't look at Larry Fitzgerald as the number one target, and that's a problem when he's your franchise. So, you know, and then there's that cat down in Tampa Bay. I think Evans is a great wide receiver. I mean, that guy's going to be able – but yet again, he's on a bad football team. So, you know, just five off the top of my head without even thinking, those are the names that come to it. But obviously you got the youth in Evans. See, Evans is going to benefit from what Dez Bryant's doing because he's going to say, hey, look what Dez Bryant's doing. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing just about the same thing. Pay me. And that's going to be good for him.
I agree. Sonny, give me 5 minutes, and I'll call back in, okay?
No problem. He is Tarvin. He's going to take a quick break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. But, yeah, the wide receivers, I don't know. They're a dime a dozen if you want the average. I mean, and sometimes you'll get the team to step up and be able to, you know, the Wes Welker. I mean, you know, if you want to call him good, you can go ahead. I think he's good. Now, he's not your atypical wide receiver that's out there, but Wes Welker type of quarterbacks make big plays. So, but no, that stereotypical wide receiver Calvin Johnson guy, you know, there's not a lot out there, and Dez Bryant's young. And if you're young, guess what? You got more years on top of it if you've already put yourself at a superstar status after 3.5-4 years in football. So Dez Bryant, I mean, there's not too many of them out there better. Calvin Johnson's good, without question. I mean, if I'm going to go ahead and take my pick on the top receivers, those are number one, number two. You're going to have some guys take the step up next year too, so watch out for that. But you've got some good wide receivers on bad football teams. So, all you got to do is look at Chicago. I think Alshon Jeffries is the next one to take the step forward, but the only problem is he plays for the Bears. He's got Jay Cutler throwing the football. So there's some guys that can take that step forward depending upon what's going on. San Francisco, another team. And nowadays, even the tight ends are considered to be, you know, pretty much wide receivers anyway. Dez Bryant, you know, I hate to say it, I just think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Second comes Calvin Johnson just because of the age factor. Not anything else, just age and how good he is. You're just not going to get that very much. And there's free agents out there in the wide receiver position that maybe you might be able to get, maybe not. Some guys that are up under contract like Larry Fitzgerald, maybe you'll get him and maybe you won't. But the free agent, I want you to listen to some of the guys that are out there as far as the, you know, teams that are out there and what they're doing and the wide receiver position. Listen to these. You got Miles Austin. No, and I'm just, that's a joke, by the way. Miles Bad Hammy Austin. I just want to be able to say it, but he's a free agent this year. But listen to some of the names, and they are names that, you know, they sound good, whether or not they're going to be good. Kenny Britt, I always thought this guy could play. He's with the Rams right now. Okay? Look out for him. I have a couple of guys that I really like. But the Dallas Cowboys, Dwayne Harris, he's going to be. And he is a guy that they could be without. But he's also a special teams guy. So he's got more value at the wide receiver position. So there's not a lot out there. Darius Heyward Bay, some people think he's great. Brandon Lloyd, some people think he's great. I don't. But the big one that is out there, I'm telling you right now, Jeremy Maclin, if he doesn't get by the Eagles, someone will, and someone's going to love the fact they got him. When that guy came into the league, I said, watch out for him because he is going to be huge for you. Cecil Shorts, if he gets away from Jacksonville and gets with a good quarterback, he could eclipse to be a good number one wide receiver out there. And Demaryius Thomas is out there right now. Wes Welker is even out there right now. There's some names. And whether or not those names will be taken, that's going to be the big question. But it is the NFL, so there's a lot of things going on. Whether or not how you think. But, I mean, And if you are an NFL franchise, and we've talked about it up on this show, the most important position on the field is quarterback. I want you to listen to the quarterbacks as far as the free agents are concerned. This is actually not just bad. It's pathetic. Listen to these names. Jason Campbell, Jimmy Clausen, Matt Flynn, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Hasselbeck, Sean Hill, Brian Hoyer, Tavarius Jackson, Josh Johnson, Ryan Lindley, Jake Locker. Ryan Mallett, however, I think has got to, remember who this guy played behind. I think Mallett's got an opportunity. But Josh and Luke McCown, both available. Colt McCoy, Matt Moore, Dan Overstreet, whatever. Listen, Mark Sanchez, Tyron Taylor, Scott Tolzien, Joe Webb. This is pathetic. You're not going to get it. You better get into the draft, and you better find out. But this year, I'm worried about the draft as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And if you're an NFL team, you might want to give some of those names a shot. But the NFL, it's not for long. That's what they say, right? Not for long. And depending on what ends up happening for each and every football team that's out there, if you have a bad quarterback, you got to do something. It's getting on the phone, trying to make the blockbuster trade. Because if you give up defense, you can get defense. I know. It sounds horrible when I say it. But if you don't have a franchise-type quarterback, you're dead. I think Ryan Mallett, if he gets the opportunity to start from day one, I trust the guy that has learned under Tom Brady more than any of those names that I just mentioned. It is so pathetic of what's going on in the quarterback. Jason Campbell, Jimmy Clausen, Matt Flynn, Blaine Gabbert, he sucks. Matt Hasselbeck, as old as me. Sean Hill, he's okay. Sean Hill and Ryan Mallett. But listen to the rest of these names. Brian Hoyer, we already know how Sonny feels about him. Tavarius Jackson, Josh Johnson, Ryan Lindley, Luke, and Josh McCown. Good God. Colt McCoy, Matt Moore. I love Matt Moore, but he's just not a starting quarterback. Mark Sanchez, Tolson, Webb, Vic, Yates. These guys suck. So if you got to pull off that blockbuster trade. Because if you're a bad football team with no quarterback, you got to do something. And this, I don't know. Let's bring it back in. Brian, is there a lot of talent coming out of college in the quarterback position in this year's draft right now? From what I'm reading, everybody saying not this year, but next year's the year. So what is going on as far as quarterbacks are concerned coming out this year in the draft?
Oh, man, you have two. And honestly, I don't think either one of them will be successful in the NFL. So if you're Tampa Bay up there, you need to trade down as much as you can in this draft because, Sonny, Mariota, I'm sorry, he's just not going to cut it in the NFL. And Winston, I just don't think he's smart enough. I think he's going to screw up again. So, really, if you're Tampa Bay and some of these teams, you're not going to find a quarterback to save you. So you better be doing some trading and trading draft
pull
picks,
up that blockbuster.
Yeah.
You're giving up your defense, aren't you? Tarvin, you're a bad franchise. You have nothing to go on. You're giving up. And I'm going to put it out there, as much as I hate the guy, and I don't know how long he's going to last in Cleveland, but you know what? Johnny Manziel put butts in seats. I'm not saying he's great, but at least he'll put butts in the seats until you get an opportunity to maybe grab up next year in the draft.
Yeah, and the worst thing for these teams that suck now, even if you draft one of these quarterbacks and they have an okay year, you're still going to suck.
Yep.
There's nothing going to change. You're going to miss out again. Your fans are going to be disgruntled. They're tired of losing. So you have to go out, find the quarterback. And maybe it's a backup quarterback that's out there that you want to get to be your starter. There's some good backups, Sonny, that are capable if they get a chance. But in this draft, I don't see any quarterback that's really going to make any noise or make a difference.
And that is a problem for a lot of football teams coming into this season, because we already ranked the top 32 in our rankings, and really we only thought the top 15 were worthy of anything. After that, it was a stretch. So, you know, the most important position out on the football field is going to be huge. Over to Oakland, Jack Del Rio. Do you think this guy is going to make a difference out there? I've been listening and watching a lot of people over in Oakland love what he's saying. Of course, he's saying all the right things right now. But my question is will Jack Del Rio be able to bring, you know, some wins and maybe some – forget about it, because the best I think they go is 8-8. But will he bring credibility to the football team? And that's, I think, is the most important thing to start with when you're talking about the Oakland Raiders.
I think maybe. I mean, I'm not big on the Raiders, but they did show me signs last year with Carr as the quarterback that they are capable of beating some good teams from time to time, which if you really suck, you don't have that chance to beat a good team. So I think he has a shot. I mean, making the playoffs, I doubt it, not with San Diego and Denver and Kansas City in that division, but like you said, gain some respect back. Get out of that three-win column every year. Get 8 wins, and I think he could do that.
Yeah, there's, you know, I expect about an 8-8, and maybe, you know, maybe a 7-9. But I feel that way because of the fans, because the fans are the best in the world over there in Oakland. You don't get better than the Black Hole. I'm sorry, there are a lot of fandemoniums out there. Oakland is number one in fandemonium, and Seattle is number two, and you can say whatever you want about them being winners or whatever the case may be. The Raider fans are the best in the nation, and it's a diehard mentality, and I'll tell you what I know about Raider Nation is every state in the 50 states has their Raider Nation corner. Texas has a Raider Nation. You know, even Alabama has a Raider Nation, their own little state Raider Nation. You can't say that about any other football team in the NFL right now, and there are crazy fans all over as far as Oakland. I found that out because I talked to one Tim Brown, one Hall of Famer, that is, you know, at our press conference that we had on Thursday. And he said the fans deserve more than what they've been getting as of late in Oakland, and I agree with him 100%.
Yeah, it's hard to find a fan base that's loyal to you when you suck for so long. I mean, they've sucked ever since.
Arizona Cardinal fans are, they know about that, but they don't get the fandemonium like they do in Oakland.
Yeah, I didn't know that about Alabama having a Raider Nation or any other state like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. They're one of the most beloved franchises in the NFL, and the love that they got is purely amazing. At least that's what I look at when I see, you know, Raider Nation and what's going on. So, now, are you having a show tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay, I will be at that one. I won't be doing my show because I'm going to be gone all day on Sunday. You know, I'm doing the old 8 to 6 thing. So I'm going to be gone all day. I wish we could still get back in there. But so I'm going to join you on your show. And what time is that kicking off over in the Eastern Standard Zone? Is that 8:30 or 7:30?
7:30 your time.
7:30. So I'm looking forward to joining you, on your show. I'm just going over some stuff that I've been seeing in, as far as news that are popping up, and the Dallas Cowboys, and you know their situation with their Melton being out there. So here's a story I just picked up on the NFL channel, and I think it's actually a good one. Maybe for the Rams, maybe not. Depends on what you think about Sam Bradford. The Rams say he's our guy. This is a good time to be Sam Bradford, I think, and I'll tell you, you know, if we talked about it. No one's coming out of the draft. They ain't going to get much better in reality than Sam Bradford, because you're not going to get those elite quarterbacks away from the teams that are, you know, set at quarterback.
And I think he has a chance to break out, Sonny. I do. I think the Rams are a team that's starting to put it together. Fisher's had some great drafts, in my opinion. He's answered the offensive line issues. But Bradford, can he stay healthy? I don't know. With a great offensive line, even if he had that, would he stay healthy? That's the key. If he stays healthy, I mean, the Rams have a shot to make a wild card, possibly win that division, because I don't think Seattle or San Francisco is going to be right up there at the top. So St. Louis, this is a perfect opportunity. But plus,
absolutely,
you've already put so much money into Bradford. I mean, what can you?
Yep.
What else could you do? You have to just hold on and hope.
Well, they tried the Sean Hill thing, and it didn't work out for him, you know. And I don't know if they could get Ryan Mallett. Like I said, there's two guys right now as far as free agents that are out there. I think Ryan Mallett's so underrated because he had just a small opportunity in Houston. I don't know if he's going to get that, you know, second shot there as far as that's concerned. But I like Ryan Mallett this year and what he can do. And, you know, depending on what you think about some of these guys, you know, did Blaine Gabbert get the opportunity that he deserved? And then what's the other guy? Jake Locker, did he get the opportunity? Or are they just on bad football teams that they didn't get a chance to, you know, to succeed at all? So those are some of the things that I look at when I look at the things out there. By the way, did you know Christian Ponder was a free agent? So, you know, someone's going to grab up a Christian Ponder. Someone's going to grab up a Ryan Mallett, I think. I think those are some names that could be grabbed up here as far as quarterbacks are concerned. So,
Sonny, is Cam going to stay in Carolina?
Yeah, I guess it sounds like it. I have not heard any hints of him walking away from there. I don't know. I guess if you look at the franchise type quarterback that you got, I mean, all you got to do is listen to those names that I named off in there, and Cam Newton's better than all of them except maybe Ryan Mallett, you know, and, you know, putting that out there. And Ryan Mallett just hasn't had an opportunity to prove anything.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can't say he's better because he's never done anything.
Well, that just all depends on how much you like the Cam Newton. You know, I don't, you know, now granted, just putting this out there, it depends upon how much they believe in this guy. And I don't know,
if
it's a lot.
I think I lost
Tarvin.
I'm actually hearing me
as a rebound. So pop offline there, Tarvin. You give me a call back in for a second because now I'm not hearing myself. You there, Tarvin? So there's something wrong with his phone.
Because now I got the repeat back on.
So give us a call there, Tarvin. Yeah, he just dropped off. I don't know. I guess because of experience, but, you know, Ryan Mallett hadn't had an opportunity in the NFL. And that just all depends upon their frustration with Cam Newton right now. Cam Newton gets him in the playoffs. Okay. But still look at that record. You're not going to get in the playoffs next year with that record that you had in Carolina. I don't care. So it just really all depends upon what the love relationship is there in Carolina. Now, if you had Mallett, Cam Newton, they're going to start Cam Newton. I know they are. And that's a bad thing for really, if you think about Ryan Mallett. Ryan Mallett needs to go there and be the starter. Remember, this guy backed up Tom Brady, the best quarterback to ever play the game. Yes, I said it, and I don't mind saying it. Tom Brady is the best quarterback to play the position, bar none. You can sit and argue with me all day. The guy's been to 6 Super Bowls. He won 4. Okay.
But I like Joe Montana. He won 4 in a row.
So what? He didn't make it to 6. Give me a break. By the way, just to say that you're stupid by saying that. I mean, you know, and listen, I love Joe Montana. I don't know if there's any bigger fan of Joe Montana than me. But damn it, I mean, the guy made it to only 4 Super Bowls, okay? He won all 4 of them. Give him the credit. I give him all day. But he didn't make it to 6. God, he's back. That's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And Joe Montana's a good quarterback, but God, he hasn't been to 6. You know, I mean, he has not been to 6 Super Bowls, for God's sake. Help me out here, Tarvin. Am I smoking weed and I don't know it?
No, and here's what people forget. I mean, Joe Montana played with some Hall of Famers lined up all over that beat.
Absolutely.
And he won all four, and they were favored in all four. It's not like they pulled some miraculous upset. Tom Brady has been to six Super Bowls at a time where there's more parity than I've ever seen. And not only that, they meet some star players that Tom Brady's had on that team.
Actually, only one. Randy Moss is the only one.
That's it. I mean, no, he didn't have Jerry Rice, John Taylor, Roger Craig, and Rathman, the fullback. I mean, he was stacked in that defense.
I mean, come on. I mean, let's get serious. I mean, I'll tell you, Stephen A. Smith has been on a roll lately of being right, but God, missed the curveball. I mean, he's 1-4, and he's been to 6, but yet Joe Montana is the better quarterback. You know, I'm sorry, you know, that just slaps, you know, common sense and logic across the face. And not only that, by the way, you know, speaking of Hall of Fame, Tim Brown got in, our general manager of the Texas Revolution. Listen here on the Couch Potato Sports Show for the play-by-play of the Texas Revolution this year. And we'll also have Tim Brown on air, by the way, here real soon. That having been said, Charles Haley, a five-time Super Bowl guy, gets in. And, you know, I don't know. Charles Haley, I'm going to ask. Charles Haley, I mean, you say what you want about it. The guy's a monster. This guy has got bipolar disease, so I don't think I want to blame it on Charles Haley for being the nut that he is, and that's the thing that kept him from getting in for so long. Finally, he's a Hall of Famer. Charles Haley should be in the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, Tarvin, or maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you why he shouldn't. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's won a lot of Super Bowls. He's been a big-time player everywhere he's been, so I'm going to say yes. I mean, there's a lot of defensive players that weren't as good as him that's in the Hall of Fame, so I could
argue
it that way.
Yeah, and he's a head case, without question, but guess what? He's not playing anymore, okay? And that's where in head cases were, I don't want to say understood, just accepted. I mean, Lyle Alzado was a nut, okay? Someone took his brain, turned it inside out, and put it back in his head. Lyle Zeta was a nut. There are many, many, you know, examples of guys that had just lost it in their mind, but they were just a crazy talent out on the football field. And you can say what you want, Charles Haley. You know, Charles Haley, as much as I love me Reggie White, okay, I put him right there, and so if Reggie's in, I mean, Charles got to be in, for crying out loud. That's, and you know, only one Super Bowl for Reggie, two, so, you know, come on. If you got a Super Bowl ring for each one of your finger, as in, now, you can get a Super Bowl ring and be a third, fourth string guy, but you still get the ring. But Charles Haley was an active spot in all five of those Super Bowls. He won four with the Dallas. Was it three with the Dallas Cowboys and two with, oh, crap. What was the other
Niners?
Team? I think the 49ers. So.
Yeah.
Oh, there
but,
you
I
go,
mean,
49ers,
thing,
Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
you know,
it's
so.
Like, you know, and people, like, I remember Joe Montana as a kid, Sonny. That was the first Super Bowl I ever watched. If this ages me or dates how old I am. Miami, San Francisco. Do you remember that game?
Yep.
It was like 38-16.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe Montana was a good quarterback. I mean, but God, Tom Brady. I mean, like six. I mean, how many? And it's not like he's loaded up, like we said, with talent on that team. It's him and his coach. It doesn't matter who you put in there. So I'm just,
that's right.
I do get annoyed saying people say Joe Montana is the best of all time, and hell, they're not old enough to even watch him. I mean, that's why
that half of them don't. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Vince Lombardi Trophy needs to be changed to the Bill Belichick Trophy, for God's sake. You know, Vince Lombardi has only won what, three? Okay, mark that. I think Vince Lombardi only won two. Yeah,
two.
Vince Lombardi won two. You got Bill Belichick with four, and he's been to six. You know, maybe you want to change the name of the damn trophy. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say Vince Lombardi wasn't, you know, a god for football. But let's be honest. I mean, and especially in this day and age of football, who's the better coach? I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to say it. Bill Belichick is a better coach than Vince Lombardi, and write me the letters, damn it. Write them. Because you know I'm going to get them, Sonny. What are you nut? Yeah, I'm telling you right now, Vince, and I love Vince Lombardi, could not coach in today's NFL. Sorry, couldn't be done. And Bill Belichick could coach back in the day when Vince Lombardi did. So you can say whatever you want, and maybe Sonny is definitely on crack or whatever it is, you know. But I'm gonna put it out there. Bill Belichick is a better coach than Vince Lombardi, and you know. But maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just not old enough to appreciate. No, but I am. I'm old enough to appreciate Vince Lombardi and the Packers and what they were all about. I get it. But man, those New England Patriots, that is a crazy bunch that is so good, and I cannot even think. And listen, I don't know. The Chicago Bears were called the most dominant defense in the NFL, but I'm going to tell you right now, and yeah, I wish Cuervo was here. If they went up against the Patriots, which they did, by the way, they beat them, but the Patriots of Tom Brady's there. I don't think that they could stop them. I don't think the Bears defense can stop a Tom Brady. I just don't. Even though they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So
that 85 Bears defense will be shredded by offenses of today. I mean,
I think you're right, and it's not any disrespect to the Bears defense. Hell, I was doing the Super Bowl shuffle too. Okay, I dig it and dug it and dug the whole thing. But the NFL today's product is just so different than what it used to be, and there's not even a comparison. That's why you can't really rank them, except if these teams go back and play them, instead of more so the guys coming up and playing the teams of now. The guys going back is the only way you really can look at it, and if you can see these guys being able to do with it, could you imagine a Peyton Manning back in the 70s along with Dan Marino? I mean, I'm just, and Dan Marino gets a lot of flack. Football, exactly. Exactly.
It's one of those sports that if you go back and watch a game where back in 85, Sonny, and you probably have football fanatic as you are.
I do it
often. Watch it. Let's see to the game compared. Go watch that and watch today's game and tell me if it's even close.
Yep. That's one of the things, and that's because it's grown to a business where perfection and guys that can't take that step and move forward. And you remember, folks, back in the 60s and 70s, NFL players had second jobs. Okay, all right, they weren't getting paid the big bucks to where they. A lot of these guys did it for the love of the game. So, you know, you got to look at that. Some of these guys had actual jobs as well. So. I have a hard time feeling sorry for NFL players of today, you know, and especially when they could do it full time the way that they do. And looking at the whole thing as far as colleges are concerned, and that's why I get back to the simple fact of the matter is, you know what? A football team represents the college, and whoever you want on the damn team, you let them be there within the rules. You know, I get the rules and I understand them, but God, you got to do something to make it right. And, you know, these guys are working really in reality full time. None of them are learning jack in school. I'm sorry. I'll even put out a percentage that I think 15% of all football college graduates are smart. The rest of the 85% are just knuckleheads that don't have a goddamn clue about any of them. And I'm telling you why I know that is because I hang around them all the time. And I see him all the time.
Sonny, I want to ask you something about the quarterback. Give me just two seconds. I'll be right back.
All right. He's going to come back here in 2 seconds. He's going to ask about the quarterback. But you know, it's really interesting as far as where things are going in the NFL. Lots of things to talk about. Some of the nonsense I've been, you know, it's sad. As I took on this, you know, this job on Saturday morning, and I listened to these numbskulls, and I listened to the reviews for the last 3 weeks, and I'm telling you that today's media, today's radio, today's sports talk is so tainted. That's the reason why you have to listen to our show. That's the reason why you have to listen to Way in Sports Talk with the guys. We're not tainted because we don't have any special interests to where if someone pulls their funding, then you go out the window. We don't have that. We can say that Clemson sucks and not have any repercussions of it. We can say, we can state our mind. Now, I was thinking about this on the way home. If someone was stupid enough to put Sonny Clark on ESPN, I'm going to tell you right now, I will sell out in a heartbeat, okay? And I'll give them what ESPN wants because the green does make a difference. And if they said, Sonny, you need to say great things about that, I would at least try to find something and make it sound good. Here on this level, though, no one's giving us any green, so guess what? Brian Hoyer sucks. The Cleveland Browns suck. And they're the disgrace of the NFL right now. And that is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers being as bad as they are and the Oakland Raiders being as bad as they are. The Cincinnati Bengals making the playoffs, but man, oh man, they suck too. The Cleveland Browns are the pathetic, most pathetic team in the NFL right now. And I can't – and even after a year of great offensive moves or off-season moves, they screwed it up in the end because they wanted to make a point. One of these days, they'll stop that. I got Tarvin. Go ahead, Tarvin.
I was going to ask you a question. And as many college football teams as we have out there, many offenses that are great, what are these coaches doing by not developing these quarterbacks for the NFL? To me, it seems like college football is being very selfish right now and just trying to make it all about them. They don't have any kind of, thought about the future of these kids. Why do the quarterbacks so much? There's no quarterbacks coming out this year. Out of all the college football teams, don't you think you'd have a few?
You would think you would, but I think I know the answer to that question, Tarvin. And folks, he didn't call me up and ask me this beforehand. Okay, we're just going off the top of our head. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because the coaches got to worry about getting paid too. And guess what? It doesn't matter what happens as soon as they walk out of the doors of those colleges. Because as soon as they take one step out of their college, they move away from padding their pockets. The reason why is because, I forget what quarterback that came in that never even took a snap. He was from Florida. I'm joking. I'm talking about Tim Tebow. Okay, never took a snap underneath center. Okay, why? Because the success of that football team was Tim Tebow in the shotgun. Simple as that. They don't care about what if they go to the NFL. They really don't. I mean, there's nothing to be gained that you're Alabama and you got the first 10 picks in the first round or the second round of the NFL are coming out of Alabama. That doesn't give them any money. Now, if it did, if it gave them money, they would teach them the NFL all day long. But guess what? The fact of the matter is those two, even though they need each other, they're not, the NFL is not vested in the NCAA to make them play by certain rules to where they could be successful on the next level. So that's why coaches, they're worried about their own job. They don't care about I'm putting it out there. They don't care about those kids and what happens when they walk in their future. Oh, they'll say it all day long on ESPN. Oh, I want them to be a great NFL quarterback. They don't give a rat's big, fat, hairy butt that they are successful in the NFL as soon as they walk away from those colleges.
And I can prove that, Sonny, and by my own team, the Auburn Tigers. It's, Nick Marshall, the quarterback, he was going to be a corner you know, he's a great defensive back, but he played quarterback in college for 2 years. Last year, before the season started, I can't remember the quarterback guru that wanted to work with him all summer, and Gus Malzahn said no. And I'm like, well, it's only going to help him develop into a passer to be in the NFL, but Gus Malzahn told him no, he could not do it. And
yep.
That just showed to me that he didn't care about that kid being in the NFL as a quarterback.
Absolutely.
As long as he was a quarterback at Auburn, he didn't give a shit.
The only thing they quote-unquote care about is their basket-weaving degree that they get when they walk out of that college, because that is the bottom line, okay? When those kids graduate, they get bonuses, okay? And that's why they are in basket-weaving and how to break a peanut shell, you know, those classes right there. Those are good, you know, get a hammer, you can break open a peanut. You just passed our class. And that's where their money comes from. It doesn't matter. I mean, and that's the reason why they come out dumb as rock and they are not ready for the world. Because as soon as they walk out of that football world, football players are, and I'm only going to speak for football players because I've hung around with way too many of them. They are not prepared for this world. And I'm not a college graduate, and I'm more prepared than they were. Okay, I was smarter than they were, and but these guys cannot get a job, okay? And the reason being is because they didn't learn life skills, they learned football skills, and as soon as they're 22 years old, they're not ready for the world, and guys that have been working their asses off since they were in high school every single day have an upper leg up on college graduates, but no one's going to recognize it. Why? Because they don't have the degree. And you can say what you want about them all day long, but, you know, and I hate to say this, the indoor football leagues are full of them. Full of them.
Sonny, I hired a Georgia graduate that played football for 4 years at Georgia, played in the NFL for 4 years. I hired him. You know, his GPA in college was a 3.3. I mean, that's a good GPA for an athlete. Well, I got him in there, and 2 months later I had to fire him because it's just like they could not get it. He couldn't grasp it this, and you're right. He was so used to having everything handed to him and
Absolutely.
People telling him how great he was that he couldn't take screwing up in the real world here and having to be at work on time every day, having to somebody that wasn't a college football or an NFL coach.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think more than most struggle, more than what people think. I mean, they're not ready. You're right. They're not ready for
no life skills whatsoever. They got football life skills, and that's not going to do them anything in the corporate world. It's not going to do them any way out there in the job world unless they're going to coach football. And I'm telling you, there is a shitload of guys out there that are trying to make their money by quote-unquote physical training, you know, weight training, and being a coach in football. There's a shitload of them out there. And guess what? They're not going anywhere because all they know is football. And as soon as that reality moves away from them, the degree that they look back upon, they got, oh, God, really, I got athletics. That's really going to do me a lot of good in the corporate world to where I can make money.
And I'm tired of seeing them on ESPN all the damn time with a job. I mean, how many more people are a lot more qualified than they are to do the job they're doing? Hell, I mean, that's what bothers me the most. Oh, you come out of football, you're getting a $200,000 a year job at ESPN to sit here and run your mouth.
Yep.
I mean, really?
And that only lasts so long in case you're Warren Sapp who I'll tell you right now, couldn't have happened to a better guy. I mean, that whole situation for Warren Sapp, I've had Warren Sapp on my show. He is a great guy, but he is dumb as a rock. And guess what? It just proved it. And it wasn't just this last incident at the Super Bowl. Now, that's the height of stupidity. But there was stupidity going on way before the Super Bowl. And you know what? He got away with it. Until he did it on the biggest stage of them all, the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you right now, if this was regular season, Warren Sapp might have got away with it. But the fact that he did it in Super Bowl weekend in Phoenix, Arizona, the fact that it's Phoenix, Arizona is a double whammy because you got Joe Arpaio was looking. I mean, he was salivating to throw his ass in jail. You know, you got those kind of things going on. If he did that during the season, you know, Wormsett might still have his job. But here's the thing. You know, the thinking, and I'll even put this out there. I'll give Michael Irvin a little credit. He's still dumb as rocks, don't get me wrong, okay? Michael Irvin's dumb, okay? I've listened to him talk, and he knows football. Outside of football, this guy is about as dumb as they come. But here's one thing that he has done is he's gotten older and maybe two wives and how much alimony he's paying after that's all done. Maybe I'll be a good human being. And that's another thing that football players don't have a clue about. They don't know how to be good human beings. So sometimes I look at football as a detriment to these kids' lives, you know, and probably causing more hurt than help because of the illusions of grandeur that these football players think that they have coming out of college. And the reason why I say that is because you even get the mediocre players out of college that won't even take one step on the indoor football league field to try to help improve their position because they think they're going to make it big. They've all been fed that line of crap that they think that they're going to make it in the NFL. Hey, if you're not a drafted if you're not a drafted football player, your chances of making it on a football team are next to nil unless you get in these leagues and do other things to where you can be noticed. So, I don't know.
Hey, Tony, I have a question, and refresh my memory. Warren Sapp was arrested because he had a prostitute, but he didn't pay her, and she told on him. Is that right?
Yeah, and here's the funny thing about that. Everybody says that he was arrested at 7 a.m. He didn't call the hookers at 7 a.m. He got them at 2 a.m., okay? That's another false part about the story. He called them and he was wanting to have sex at 7. No, the fight broke out at 2. It continued until 7 before the cops were called. Come on, get your stories right up there and do that, okay? Now, granted, it's a funny story. You know, first thing he wakes up, he's got a hooker on hand. I think that's wonderful. But, I mean, how sad does it have to be, and you got to be a money-hungry woman, such as a hooker, to get Warren Sapp in trouble? I mean, that is, I want to tell you right now, that is a blood-sucking woman right there.
Yeah, but I mean,
and why is that,
Tarvin? Correct?
You know why? It's because that broad's going to get paid. Someone's going to pay for that story, and she's going to, and not just a little bit. She's going to get paid a lot. Somewhere, it might not be next week, next month, but as soon as it comes out and someone wants her story, she's going to get a big payday for that.
Yeah, and it's just, look, if you're Warren Sapp, you should be able to get it for free. I know he's not the most attractive person in the world, you know. But
yes.
And you play in the NFL, people know who
and
you are.
Can.
Why do you have to go pay for it?
I don't understand that. I've been around him where women were just drooling all over him, and they weren't hookers. All right, so I've been around him during that time, okay? And they'd throw the panties at him. Walking down the street, he'd get barraged with panties, for Christ's sake. But, you know, see, Warren was – I think I understand Warren's thinking. If he pays for it, he doesn't have to worry about it coming back on his ass if he doesn't get caught because she doesn't want to get in trouble. Well, he got the only hooker over in Phoenix, Arizona that said, no, I'll go ahead and I'll risk it.
That is crazy. Who was the other person that got in trouble for prostitution in football here lately? Is it someone else or – trying to think of who it was.
I don't know. I don't know it off the top of my head. Oh, God. Oh.
Well, it's the dog days of no football, Sonny, from now until training camp. I mean, how much of the combine are you going to pay attention to? Or are you even going to watch it at all?
None of it, because there's no quarterbacks coming out. And how sad is that? I won't watch the combine unless there's a quarterback coming out, because guess what? Really, in reality, I don't like rookies even at the quarterback position. All right, but they're the only ones that will have major impact, really, in reality. Now, granted, you're going to have your Beckham, but how many wide receivers that were rookies that made a difference in the NFL this year?
Not really many.
One,
really.
Maybe Beckham.
Penny
you know,
is one you better watch out for this year.
Evans and Beckham, they were really the only rookies that made a difference. And out of how many that were drafted, I don't care about rookies unless they're going to be impact players immediately, and that is either a quarterback or a defensive end. You know, the rest of it, I don't keep track of it. Or yeah.
Well, why in the hell is Michael Sam not on the team right now? I mean, I heard there's something new where players that didn't get drafted have a chance. I mean, to do a combine again, right? Like if last year you didn't get drafted, you have to, yeah, I heard that's coming out. Michael Sam got invited to the combine.
Good, and he should go. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if there's anybody that should be in a football uniform, you know. Now, listen, we talked about it on this show. And I said from the get-go, this guy's getting paid regardless. Whether he's on a football team or not, this guy's got money. It's not the fact that this guy's not making any money, okay? Simple fact of the matter is Michael Sam's got plenty of money right now. And he played on the practice squad for the Rams for a little bit. That's it. But the guy's making money on a daily basis because of what he did. So he was in a win-win situation. He could be the only gay guy on a football team or the only outed gay guy on the football team and make money in the NFL and being the only gay one or just being the only gay one and he still makes plenty of money.
Yeah.
This was all about money. And I'll give it to Michael Sams, okay? And I think I may be wrong in this. But here's what I'm going to tell you, is the fact that he knew he was going to get paid regardless, so he went the easy way out. But
yeah, but I look at him, what he did on the field in the preseason games. He led the team in sacks, all SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, look, I'm not for homosexuality. You know what? I don't even care what you do. But he's a lot better person than a lot of people in that damn locker room.
Absolutely.
And I'm one of those people that, you know, I don't condone what you do, and I really, you know why? Because I don't care what you do. As long as it doesn't affect me, you should still have the right to play football. I'm sorry.
And guess where he was at? I was there. I saw him. He was right in McKinney at the Michael Johnson Performance Center where the Texas Revolution work out. And he was just recently up there, as recent as this week. Because we went up there, we did the walk around, and Michael Sams was out there working out. Yeah, I know what he looks like. And he was there at the Michael Johnson Center where the Texas Revolution worked out. So, you know, in other words, the Dallas Cowboys are giving this guy a look, okay? And just to let you know, just because he isn't on a team, I'm telling you right now, I now have learned a lot about NFL scouts. He's in McKinney for a reason. Okay, he's not. He could be anywhere, any place. He's at the Michael Johnson Performance Center, and it's 15 miles north of the Dallas area. Now, you can't tell me that the Dallas Cowboys are not looking at this guy and looking at him hard. So, saying, he might be on the he may not be a starter or on the regular team, but he may be on the practice squad of the Dallas Cowboys.
And I think what hurt him the most is not the fact that he's gay. It's the way, with the timing of it coming out right before the draft. And it just seemed like it just put him in a bad position in the minds of the owners and the public. It looked like he was trying to get some attention, cause some drama, and actually these owners in the corner is what it did. Draft me or you're a hater. I mean, it's really exactly what the message was.
Yeah, well, the message was very clear. I'm going to tell you right now, if he didn't have Oprah on board, he wouldn't have done this. Okay? And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Whoever's representing this guy, giving him the worst advice. I don't know. And maybe it's me, and this is getting back to me just being a guy, maybe. You know, I don't know why it's so necessary that they got to be out. And I know that sounds rude when I say that, but, you know, you're making a federal case over your – hey, you don't hear Sonny Clark going, hey, I love women. You know, hey, I'm a woman-loving man. You don't hear me say that because it doesn't matter. And the simple fact of the matter is if he would have kept his mouth shut and then announced it after he made a football team and it was week three, week four in the NFL, then he would be in a better position with him coming out, more so than announcing it because it just gives everybody, like you said, every NFL team is a hater, and now the Rams are a hater because they cut him and everything else. So you're absolutely right. His timing was worse than any team, and he needed to put a good 4 weeks out on the football field where he made an impact and then announced he was gay. And he probably would have reaped more benefits that way. They just did it ass backward. No pun intended.
Well, you saw that. You saw that the show. What was that show on ESPN about the NFL where the player came out? What, Playmakers? Remember that ESPN
yes,
show?
Yes, Playmakers. Yes, I got that series.
I do too, and I'm so disappointed they cut it short. But they got into the
well, you know why
they got
they
into
cut
the
it
ass
short.
Of the NFL. I mean, that's what they
yeah.
did. They showed the NFL the true story of what it's like, and they didn't like that black eye they were getting and the drugs
and that domestic violence shit. That one where the running back hit his wife. You know,
yeah.
The domestic violence coming. Hey, and how soon we forget about it? Because no one at ESPN. I'm telling you right now, you can't buy it unless it's on Amazon or on eBay. You're not walking into a video store and buying Playmakers. It's just not happening. They stopped production of it, and I'll tell you right now, the only way you can get it is either used or new, you know, through Amazon or through eBay. You're not going to get it anywhere else.
Yeah, and I have it. I have it. I bought it as soon as it came out. But it, to me, you know, the guy came out a rumor he was gay or something, and those players, man, they were giving him hell. And I know it's a different time and everything, but you have to know that same behavior is going to happen in an NFL locker room because of what you said, Sonny. These guys are not the sharpest tools in the shed.
Nope.
I mean, are you expect them to be someone else?
Politically correct.
Or choice? Yeah. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And you know what? I'm even going to go to the strength to the link to say, you know, Charvin, it's not their fault. It's really not their fault. And we sit here and we talk about these. Well, they're grown men. No, they're not. I'm sorry. You're coming out of college. You're not a grown man. You are a kid. I mean, you could be 24 years old, 22, walking out of college, whatever it is, 22, right? 22 years old. They're like grown men. They're just dumber high school kids. I mean, and they just got bigger. And they worked on what they know. And what they worked on what they know is football. Not anything else. And there are only so many guys in the NFL that walk out and say, and I'm going to use a guy that I know of from the Indoor Football League. That is a guy. His name is Luke McArdle. And this guy now, after he graduated college, went to law school. There are not too many of them out there. Okay? Not too many of them out there. There are not very many Luke McArdles that will walk out of playing, you know, indoor football and walk right into law school or qualify. And there you go. Qualify for the next level of education just in the college degree. I mean, if you got to be a doctor, I mean, how many NFL players are going to walk up being a doctor? Hell, they couldn't even say half the goddamn words that it takes in order for them to be. I'm going to tell you, there are no NFL doctors out there, okay? And if there are, I'll eat my words, okay? And let's just say if there are, there's less than what's on one hand that have ever went on to be a doctor that played in the NFL. And I'll even take it a stretch. There hasn't been any of them in 20 years. So they might have been able to get away with that, you know, earlier in the NFL when it was in existence. But, nah, last 20 years you don't see them lining up to go to medical school after they're done with football. You know, it just doesn't happen. So,
no, it doesn't.
But, you know, I hate putting it out there, man. It is what it is. And it's not the fact that these guys are not good guys. They're great guys. But, you know, they're just not ready. I walk into these locker rooms and I look at them and, you know, half my job is to, be a positive light and everything and give them good interviews and make them look good. And that's part of my job and what I do. But, man, you know, as soon as they walk out the door, they get cut. I mean, these guys are in just so much trouble in life that I don't know. And that's the part that ESPN isn't going to cover. Fox isn't going to cover. They're all going to say, oh, they're great guys. They got a great, brilliant future after football. No, they don't. No, they don't. They got a better shot of getting the job at Burger King flipping burgers than they do getting the job in the corporate world. That, you know, they're not qualified for anything. And you can sit there and say Peyton Manning is the smartest probably one out there, right? Guess what position he plays? Sorry, it's not a stereotype when it's true. Okay? Usually the smartest players aren't on the football field, and that's if you go by the Wunderlich in fact, right? If you look down the Wunderlich, I'm going to tell you that the smartest ones are quarterbacks. That's not a coincidence. So you can maybe get – Peyton Manning's so smart, he might be able to walk into medical school and graduate. But, you know, I'm sorry, I don't want to throw anything, but, you know, you want to talk about the best cornerback in the NFL and Richard Sherman, he may be smart, but I'm going to tell you right now, that guy wouldn't make it in the business world. Never. At life after football, that's why they got to play so hard to make their money for the rest of their life, because there is absolutely no way making it on a regular basis, being a regular guy, that they will make it from day to day. But that's just fact. Let's see here. So anyway, you know, it is what it is. Michael Sam and McKinney, yes, I did see him up over the Michael Johnson Performance Center just last week. So, you know, Michael Sam is not completely out of the realm of football, and the Dallas Cowboys, they're a team that goes ahead and they make those stretches as far as players are concerned. So you can take a look at Michael Sam quite possibly playing in the NFL. I'd like to thank Tarvin. I don't know if he's going to be back or not. We're just blabbing. And, you know, we're talking about sports, and it some of the things that are out there as far as what's being talked about during the week. And I talked about listening to Sports Talk Radio, man. I'm almost done with it, and I'm just going to listen to music, because I cannot believe the nonsense I listen to every single day out on regular ESPN radio, or whether it's the game, you know, how they cater to such things. It's unbelievable. You're not going to get a guy to say that, you know, Dez Bryant's a punk. You know, Dez Bryant's a great guy, boy. I don't know, but maybe it's sunny. It's got to be me, because I think I'm the only one that thinks that way. Maybe I'm not, and this is the right format for it. You know, we don't have to be politically. We have to be politically correct to a certain point. So, watch out for that. So, Jets are declining a contract option on Chris Johnson. So guess who now becomes another free agent? Chris Johnson. No big surprise. After he did the 2,000 yards, I don't know, did he ever make it to 2,000, or he was just so close? After that, he was done. Guess what? We're not talking about him. Also, some reports out in the NFL that according to Austin and the Lions uniforms up there, they're expecting Sue's return. They probably tag him on the franchise. And Cowboys declined to pick up a 3-year option on Milton's contract as well. So, you know, other stuff. Peyton Manning tells him that he's going to return in 2015. Is that good? Is that bad? Winston's in shape. Where does he go? Is he a first-round draft pick? I'm going to just go out on a stretch and say I don't think he is. This is the way I look at it. But anyway, you know, we set the show up for 3 hours. You know, I've been kind of like on a rampage here. And I'd love to have Tarvin up on the show. It is Valentine's Day, so make sure for all those that married your wife on Valentine's Day, you don't just get her a Valentine, you get her, you know, the anniversary stuff, you know, put it together. By the way, there's earlier reports that said that I didn't leave the 49ers. I felt like the 49ers hierarchy left me. And boy, oh boy, I'm going to tell you right now, he's so right, and I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh. And it started before the year started. And that is so obvious. And if you want to blame Jim Harbaugh, just close your eyes to it. That's fine. That means you're a business person and you agree with what the 49ers did. It's an organization to Jim Harbaugh to set him up to fail, which, by the way, I think Jim Harbaugh did the right thing. I think he did. The middle finger to him. You know what? You're not going to have me back here. Why should I bust my balls to coach this team when I know I can go somewhere else and make more money? I think he did. And I don't blame him. Matter of fact, I think he is probably the most brave coach in there. Just saying, you know what? No, not going to do it. So now, the situation, we were talking a little bit about Larry Fitzgerald and that situation that he's got going on. Larry Fitzgerald of the Arizona Cardinals is scheduled to make $15 million, and then he also gets a big hit, and he's going to count $23.6 million against the cap. Fitzgerald is now discussing the new contract with the Cardinals, and the front office has put him as set there to restructure him to a more team-friendly fashion. I'm putting it out there. Larry Fitzgerald shouldn't sign shit. Larry Fitzgerald needs to fly the nest in Arizona. You want to talk about a guy that's been disrespected? This guy's taken enough pay cuts. Make him pay, Larry. Don't let the Arizona Cardinals rob you of any more money than what you have deserved. And yes, scorekeeper, I said deserved. He's been a team player, taking less money to stay on the Arizona Cardinal team after Kurt Warner, and nothing's happened, and they still haven't done anything. You know, Palmer, he's one step away from being hurt again for the whole year, so he can make the money that he got on his guaranteed money. Palmer's done, folks, and if you want to keep him in there as your guy, wonderful. The Arizona Cardinals better do something at the quarterback position. I'm telling you right now, if they're not on the phone with Ryan Mallett, they're nuts. Because Ryan Mallett can't step in. He's better than Lindsey, and they are a free agent. I'm telling you right now, the free agent quarterback is only one or two. You go out and you better get them if you're a football team. The Arizona Cardinals have a shot with them. And say what you want. You know, Bruce Arians knows how to coach some quarterbacks. Todd Bowles up in the Jets, that organization is just I feel so bad for him. I feel so bad. And I hope Todd Bowles is able to turn that franchise around for his sake. Cannot believe he accepted that job. I just can't. It's one thing to be a tradition in winning. It's another for not winning for more than 30 years. Jets are sad. Jets are sad. Todd Bowles. Oh, man. I feel bad for the guy. I don't know why he felt like he needed to take that job. There were a couple other ones out there. But then again, I go back to you know, Ken Wisenhunt not taking that Detroit Lions job. Boy, I bet you he's kicking himself in the ass so hard right now that he's got scuff marks on his cheeks. Unbelievable. Some guys that are going to have to do something is Larry Fitzgerald, Percy Harvin of the Jets as well. Brandon Marshall, $7.5 million becomes fully guaranteed if he is on the roster by the third day of the league year, and that's March 12th. He has received right now no assurances about his future, but if the Bears don't keep Brandon Marshall, they're making such a huge mistake. Dwayne Bowe, due right now $10.75 million. So, you know, it's really interesting. Greg Jennings of the Vikings, He's slated to make $8.9 million, and he's going to count $11 million toward the cap. They almost have to – Bridgewater needs to develop some chemistry. They almost might have to. That will hurt if they don't keep Greg Jennings. I do. I believe that could be something that could be worked on with him and Teddy Bridgewater. Marcus Colson right now is due to make $6.9 million. And he's going to count $10 million against the cap. So mistakes during the season, drop balls, and all kinds of stuff don't look good for Marcus Colson. So I don't know. It is the NFL, and it's ever-changing. So it is what it is. So I don't know. We'll find out what's going on. The NBA All-Star Game, I think it's today. Yeah, it's today, I think. Do you care? I don't. Could give a rat's big fat butt. Although, I do like the NBA. Beginning to pick up on it. So watch out for the NBA. Right now, the Major League Baseball wants to shrink the strike zone in 2016. So this would happen next year, not this year. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Why mess with it now? I just, you know, I don't get it. I'm not going to read the article. I heard that it was coming out. I'm just sitting there thinking, why? You know, doesn't make any sense. I don't know. But, you know, that's pretty much everything. Let me just check real quick, see if anybody's called back in. No. So that's pretty much all we got going on here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. So I got on the air, wanted to get some things off of my chest. And, you know, I got to really stop listening to sports talk radio because it really, really makes me angry. So I don't know. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and we're going to bail on out of here. I'd like to thank, obviously, Brian Tarvin for joining us. I'm going to join him tomorrow on his show so I don't have to sit and try to set up a show. I'm going to call him. Make sure you check it up there, 7:30 my time over on Williams Sports Talk. I am Sonny Clark for Cuervo and the Couch Potato Sports Show. I am the hardest working man in sports radio. I'm out of here. Everybody have a good Saturday. Enjoy Valentine's Day. Hope you all get lucky. Good luck with that. I'm out of here. Take care. Bye-bye.